big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Assume the position. Oh, this looks good so far. You talk, John.
Okay, well, how am I doing now?
You're a bit soft. Is that because...
It's because I have a fragile voice.
Well, could you do something about
your...
Well,
no, just turn it up.
I'm not turning it up. It's fucking max volume,
recording.
Mate. It's like
That's
a bloody
the idea
ghost.
Of recording, is that you can adjust.
Hello, and welcome to, if I may say so, a very special edition of the Mick Wall podcast featuring... The one and only, the only and one, the great interrupter, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten, a.k.a. John Hotten, a.k.a. me best mate.
Yes, and yes, where have we been? That's the question.
Well,
that's the question people have been asking me. Where are you?
Well, we had a small break, didn't we?
We had a successful evening, didn't we, first of all? We had a
very at the show.
Successful, a glittering evening.
With Stephen Wilson.
With Stephen Wilson, yeah.
Oh, he was fantastic.
It was great, wasn't it? Yeah, and thanks to everyone that came. It was brilliant.
He answered
really
all your Marillion
night.
Questions.
He said, this is the one bone I've got to pick with him. He was very good.
Oh, you've got a bone to pick with Stephen? Oh.
Yeah. But before we went on, he said to me, and I said, I've got three questions, two of them about Marillion. He said, you can only ask one of them.
Yeah. How unreasonable of him.
Unreasonable,
the truth
isn't it?
Is you had three.
Very unreasonable.
You had three Marillion questions.
Three killer questions.
And I noticed you didn't ask the three killer questions you said you were going to
no,
ask.
No, because he just, I mean, he put me in a bad
mood. Oh, it was
his
fault.
I'm like,
he put you in a
yeah,
bad mood.
He
put you in a bad mood.
He put me in a bad mood. I had all the questions
Fuck
ready.
Fuck me.
So I asked him about, you know, what's the difference between remixing and remastering. And did that not turn out to be really interesting and funny?
Oh,
it did.
When they woke me up from
in
that.
In all seriousness, I say, if you've not heard it, go and listen to it. Especially the bit when he gets onto the fact he had to remaster November Rain by Axl Rose. Axl Rose, the one song that Axl Rose considers sacred in the universe.
He remastered it.
Yeah, he remastered it. Yeah.
And funnily enough, apparently Axl wasn't overjoyed.
No, apparently he didn't. Axl, easy come, easy go, Rose. You can imagine the scenes at the record company going, should we let him know we're doing this? Or
That, I think, was the problem. They didn't let him know
because they don't anymore. No, but I wonder why. You know, would you want to be the one making that call?
He's a reasonable man, isn't he?
His reputation
speaks for itself.
He's
out of here.
He's open to choices.
Oh, hang on. I've got a wild, furious wind.
You have. He's open to choices in that you can either choose guns or you can choose knives. That's your choice.
And then once you've made your choice, he will deny ever having said it.
So he's going to
write a song about what an arse.
So he's going to say it to Stephen Wilson next, which I am looking forward to.
Get in the ring. I'm talking about you,
Stephen Wilson, King
of Prague.
Mick Wall at Kerrang.
Stephen Wilson, King of Prague.
Yeah, get in the fucking
bitchy ass, motherfucker.
Yeah, he's going to slap your bitch ass, Stephen, the next time he's in Milton Keynes or wherever it is.
So while we were having a short... What do they say? Well deserved.
Yes.
A well deserved rest.
You were in the clinic, weren't you? In the Swiss clinic.
I was getting my blood changed.
You know, for the
good stuff.
Yeah.
Get rid of the bad stuff, in with the good stuff. You know, it takes a little while to adjust.
It takes a couple of weeks.
Right, but while all that was happening, you've been collating...
I'd slipped back into my old role of news gatherer because I knew you were indisposed.
Ooh.
The word came back from Oxfordshire. Mick Wall is... You know, when they used to put at the end of columns, Mick Wall is away.
He's unwell.
They just used to put that.
He is unwell.
Yeah,
Me and Jeffrey Bernard.
Yeah, Mick Wall is unwell.
So you have sent
so
me...
So I began gathering...
You began gathering, and you have sent me the fruits of your labours.
Because it all came back to me. How easy it is to to gather news. I mean, I don't know why I'd even let you start doing it. When we turn up here, you turn up here and you go, oh, no, I have got something. It's on my phone somewhere.
Well, do you know what, John? You're absolutely right. From now on,
I'll gather the news.
You gather
you
all
leave it to me,
the
pal.
News. Yeah. And I will sit here whistling Dixie.
Yeah, because when the readers get a load of this,
there'll be no doubt in their mind where they want to get their news.
Who is the king of news?
Well, we used to call you, didn't we, John Hot on the News?
You did, yeah.
Hot on the News.
Amusingly enough, never used to get tired of that.
What about Lackey Boy? Did you get tired of that?
Yeah, no, I like that as well, yeah.
John used to come in the office and Crusher would start singing, I should be so lackey, 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 lackey. Do you remember that, John?
I do remember that. And it's all flooding back to me because that Twitter stroke X, whatever it's called now, that account that republishes old pages of Kerrang.
Oh, yeah.
And it keeps republishing pages of Shrapnel. Well, if you remember Shrapnel, it was the news that wasn't big enough news to go at the front of the
literally
Mac.
Was Shrapnel.
You used to get two pages at the back and you used to be able to write in. So if you had a band who were just like a local band or whatever and you had some dates, you could write in and we would print the dates in Shrapnel.
Because we needed to fill the page with something.
Or if a band needed a, you know, Joe Blow from, Milton Keynes have lost their bass player.
Must have a beard.
Yeah, you know, influences.
Maiden.
Yeah.
Metallica.
Yeah.
Must have a beard.
Yeah, exactly, that sort of thing. And I would type each, it was like Tuesday or something, I'd have a big pile of these letters because it was the only way you could send it in was by letter.
See, these days, it would be an email. You could just cut and paste.
Yeah, just
it'd be
cut
down
and
the
paste,
pub.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, because I used to kind of try and write them up because they used to write ridiculous things.
Like what?
Well, I remember, the one I really remember, which was, I think I ended up putting in, which was quite funny, which was sort of typical, you know, axe murderer from Bath require bass player. Also, pool table for sale. So it's a bit of stupid stuff like that, you know. And then someone the other day, so I saw a few of those which brought all of that back to me. And then the other day this account tweeted the great occasion, one of Barton's great moments when he did, do you remember the 5 feet tall door posters? We gave away door posters.
Yeah. Oh.
And they were literally the size of a door.
And one was Lisa Dominique.
That's right.
In
you
the
had
bath.
To, but the great thing was you had to collect three issues. This is how old school it was. You had to buy three issues of Kerrang, cut out a coupon from each one, and send it in along with your top three choices of what poster you wanted.
Plus
in case
a stamped, addressed envelope.
Something like that. It was just took me back. And the choices were, you could have Lisa Dominique, obviously, in the bath. You could have Joe Elliott.
Right.
With all his hair back combed. You could have
Bruce Dickinson.
You could have Bruce Dickinson standing by a bridge somewhere in London. I don't know why he chose that picture.
Oh no, bloody brilliant.
The bloke from Anthrax, Joey Belladonna, he was one of them. And there was one other, I can't remember what the other one was.
Yes. So you've been reading shrapnels on Twitter.
Well, I remember going round to your house, you had all five up, all five of the posters you had on the back of each door.
Signed?
Yeah.
To my dearest, I couldn't have done it without you, Mick.
Dear Dick.
If it wasn't for you, I owe it all to you.
Loved you,
Mick. Yeah, loved you. Yeah. From Leopard.
Yeah, Jewel from Leopard.
From Leopard.
Yeah.
From Up Leopard. Right, so shall we get
on
to
the
news?
The news that I've gathered, yes.
Well, can I just say this first story? Bruce Dickinson, we just mentioned him, and John sent me this first story, and it's an interview with him, and the quote
it's in the newspaper of note, first of all, isn't it? It's in the Thunderer itself. It's in the Times.
Oh, is that
Bruce Dickinson has done the Times. Yeah.
And the headline, quote, is Rock and Roll Madness Gets Very Old Very Quickly.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, how would he know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why
Mr.
I thought.
Mr. Fucking Sword Swallower.
Exactly. I thought I'll send this to, because when you read the interview, inevitably it's all about I've taken up fencing again, and I'm brilliant, and I live in Paris, and I, you know,
is he writing any more books?
Oh, hopefully.
Lord Iffy Boat Race, bring him back.
Yeah,
because
yeah, well,
that was a golden era of literature.
It's what the public want, isn't it?
It's certainly
it's what they're
something.
Constantly asking for, Lord Iffy Boat Race. But no, but that headline sort of suggested that Bruce had lived a debauched rock and roll life, and I was thinking, no, I'm not sure I remember that.
No,
I'm not sure I remember that.
Sleeping early, getting enough sleep, which is, you know, what you're supposed to do when you're a singer. I must admit, the interview itself, I didn't read it.
No, I didn't think
I couldn't
would.
Be fucked.
That's why you are no good at news.
That's right. Now, apparently, you've had requests from pod readers, as have I, inquiring as to the Bruce Part 2 episode.
Well, it was suggested that once we... Because I think we got on a bit of a roll with Bruce, didn't we, last
well,
time?
Well, I think we said we'd do a Part 2,
it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I've had other readers taking the mickey out of me.
Why?
I'm very sad.
Why?
Because apparently I told the same story.
Oh, silly old man, yeah. Well, we do... Because new people are coming on board all the time, apparently. So I was told. And they're just saying that they gather around your feet, go, we've not heard it, Mick. We've not, please tell us again. Just.
And, yeah, well,
and
anyway,
in that respect, you're
my
a lot
attitude
like
was.
Bruce. You're a lot like Bruce. You're saying the same things over and over again.
What's Bruce
like
doing?
Bruce.
What's he doing?
He's recording with Iron Maiden, basically, doing the same album over and
oh,
over.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Oh, very subtle. Yeah. Right.
Apart from his solo album, which is great.
Bruce?
Yeah.
Is it? I haven't heard it.
Well, you did. We saw the video, didn't we? See, this is why you tell the same stories over and over. So you can't remember what we did.
Who are you?
Yeah.
So exactly. Bruce is the singer, right?
Bruce is the famous singer, yeah.
No, I know we saw the video. I haven't heard the album. Have you heard the album?
No.
Oh. Well, there you go. Oh,
sorry, from what I heard on the video, it was good. But no, but it was all... it was gothic, wasn't it? Did we have to recover this ground? Probably not. Get on to the next
story. Well, you're the one that sent the story,
I'm sure,
mate. Right.
Stuff.
Next. There is a petition for, or is it ready? Well, you'll tell me. A petition for a statue of Lemmy in Stoke-on-Trent. Now, you've actually attached a picture.
A picture, because there was a brilliant mock up of what the statue would look like were it to be made.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't look too bad, does
it? No, it looks all right. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a bit like the Phil Lynott statue, isn't it? And they're thinking like Lynott is, you know, when you think of Dublin, you think of Phil Lynott. I mean, he's one of the sons of Dublin.
And you're saying,
well, obviously,
same
when you think
for
of
Stoke-on-Trent, people go, Lemmy,
don't they?
No.
I had no idea he was from Stoke-on-Trent. I thought he was from Wales.
I think it was he was born in Stoke-on-Trent,
like Slash.
And then they moved to
Why
Wales.
Is it with Pete rock stars born in Stoke-on-Trent? They don't want to stick around, do they?
Have you ever been there?
No. No, if they put the statue up, I'll go. I say to you now, people of Stoke-on-Trent.
I say to you now, people of Stoke-on-Trent, I've been to the Harry... It's just closed, actually.
I've been to
the Harry Potter shop there. They've got a... It's not like the franchise run you see in London and everywhere.
It's unofficial.
It had this... It literally was their old-fashioned booty.
Does J.K. Rowling know about it? Because I'd imagine her lawyers might be interested if it's not...
Oh, I think she was getting her taste, as they say.
No, but then it's official. You said it was unofficial.
It's not one of the franchises, but it absolutely is an official outlet for Harry Potter. But it's a boutique offering. It's gone now anyway. But so through my daughter, my oldest daughter, who's a Harry Potter fanatic, you should see her room.
As you are to Guns N' Roses, so she is to Harry Potter.
Well, possibly.
Yeah.
So I have been a couple of times. And I didn't really get a good look at the place, you know. And it was sort of a bleak Sunday.
The Potteries, isn't it? The Potteries, they call it.
Yes, yes. So what do you think about
good at statues if it's a pottery.
Maybe
the statue will be.
But don't you think it's stretching
pottery,
it a bit?
Lemmy.
Here in Stoke-on-Trent, you know, we've got Lemmy. I mean,
yeah. I think it's a good attraction. That's statue of Phil Lynott does business, but doesn't it? People are constantly going.
Yes, but everybody knows their photo Phil was done. Irish and Dublin is Dublin. Stoke, it's not exactly London, is it? Or LA. Lemmy.
Yeah,
London.
But when they said,
LA,
but when they said to Lemmy, who you know lived for many years in London and then moved to LA, where do you want your statue? He said, "There's only one place for me, mate. Even though I was born in Wales and live in London and LA, it's Stoke-on-Trent."
Well, no, I think it was he was born in Stoke-on-Trent.
I think you'll find he was born in Wales.
Wow,
you're his official biographer, aren't you?
I am. Well, listen to this.
Because you, when they do the statue, is he going to be wearing those shorts? That's what I want to know. Those denim shorts that you gave
when
him.
I did my critically acclaimed Lemmy biography.
Had a
back
whole
in,
chapter about the shorts.
Back in 2016, not long after he died.
No, that's good. That was coincidence.
That
was,
actually,
I
that
heard
was
you
a coincidence.
Were working on it when he was still alive.
I was working on it when he was still alive.
Yeah.
Just I was just waiting for him to die.
Yeah.
No, horrible. I didn't mean that at all. But when the book came out...
I can't believe you just said that.
When the book came out... Listen, when the book came out...
Do you think you should alert people who you're working on at the moment just so they know you're hovering...
In case they die.
You're hovering like a terrible vulture above Oxfordshire.
No, no. I give no warning.
Waiting for their corpse.
No warning given. So listen, at the end of that year... I got a message from my then agent saying Stoke-on-Trent have an annual prize for something, a book that's like related.
Oh, to Stoke-on-Trent.
And my Lemmy book was one of the nominees.
Wow.
I thought
shortlisted.
Yeah. I'm thinking how many books can there be every year that are related to Stoke-on-Trent?
Yeah, but if they're saying Lemmy's related... I mean, maybe
well,
it's
he was. I'm saying to you, he was born
that's
there,
what
mate.
You're saying, but I'm saying I'm sure he was born in Wales.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you exactly where he was born because I've got Wikipedia up. Yeah. As everybody knows.
Born.
Here we go.
Because he's...
This will ring a bell for you. Lemmy was born, Ian Fraser Kilmister...
Mother,
in the Burslem area of Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh, okay.
And then when he was... Blah, 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 blah. They moved to Wales.
I told you, didn't I? I'm never wrong. Comes from Wales. Comes
I
from
just
Wales,
said he
mate.
Was born, and yeah, you said, no, he was born in Wales.
Yeah, well, he's essentially born in Wales.
No, he wasn't.
You knew his mother, didn't you? Motorcycle Irene. You were big friends with her.
I think she would kill you if she heard you describe her as such.
Maybe I'm confused. I don't know.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
so,
the statue...
What do you think about this
if
statue
he's in the,
business?
If he's in the hot pants, I'm all for it. If there's a statue of Lemmy in his denim hot pants in Stoke-on-Trent, I say again, I will go. Well, I'd even go to the unveiling. I'd even unveil it. But I tell you...
Is that though because you're
cheesy,
a man that likes
cheesy,
men?
It'll be cheesy, won't it? Cheesy will unveil it.
Is that because as a man who likes rough men. Yeah. You want to unveil his shorts.
Well, as you've said many times, Lemmy wasn't really rough. You know, he was very camp.
I forgot what I was going to say now. I was going to nab you with a smart rejoinder. What the fuck was it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe just tell the same story again.
Anyway.
Hey, it's gone.
I was saying to myself, what other book could there possibly fucking be published that year
that'd
be more exciting and interesting for Stoke-on-Trent?
Can I guess before you say? Was it about Phil Taylor, the darts player, because he's from Stoke-on-Trent?
No.
Was it about Robbie Williams, the singer, because he's from Stoke-on-Trent?
No.
Was it about Slash, because he's from Stoke-on-Trent? When you wrote your book about Guns N' Roses, was it nominated for the Stoke-on-Trent?
No.
Okay.
No. It was about nothing. It was like some fucking wanker with a pot or something, you know. But I'm saying, look,
Wedgwood.
Every year you've got a bloke with a pot.
Josiah
haven't
Wedgwood.
Got Lemmy every year, have you?
No, exactly.
I should have won that prize.
I do see the potteries. I mean, it could reinvigorate them if they start making pots of Lemmy. Because it could be like...
Status Quo had the Toby jugs,
yeah,
didn't they?
So,
they could do Toby jugs.
What you do is you do a massive... pot of Lemmy and put it in Stoke-on-Trent and then you start selling little versions of
Does
it.
Does your phone...
That would be the Stoke-on-Trent
tourism. Did all 90s phones have
Stoke
that little diddle-liddle-liddle when you
tourism.
Put them down?
tourism from
You're
Stoke
actually on
Trent.
Your phone. Get off your phone. Wow.
I'm just muting the phone.
Wow. Oh, that's good of you to do that. It's a shame you didn't do it, half an hour ago.
I'm just muting the phone.
Very good. It takes a long time to mute your phone.
Well, there's two different groups of people.
Do you have to, move the hands?
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to the riveting news. Except
no, you didn't like that
now.
One. You didn't like the statue of Lemmy.
Well, I keep trying to ask you, but you keep interrupting. What do you think of this whole statue thing?
How many times do I have to say, if they do it, I'll go and see it? I mean, I think it's a really good idea. I think genuinely, if you want people to go to a place, put up a good statue, and people like to go. It's fun.
Let me tell you something. I've been to Dublin many, many times.
Yeah.
I've never made an effort to go and see the Lion King.
No, because you're a miserable tosser, aren't you?
No,
people
I just
who
don't
are actually
like
going there for
statues.
A good time.
Like when I was at the Rainbow. When I was at the Rainbow, having a meal with Lemmy's manager in 2019, I did not go and look at the statue. They said, oh, look, there's the statue. I went, oh.
What statue?
There's a statue of Lemmy at the Rainbow.
I thought it was just the fruit machine.
No, it's
it's a bust, is it? A bust.
It's a statue, a gold statue at the Rainbow. I don't know when you went last went
oh,
there.
God,
but
not for years.
Well, it's obviously evolved a bit. So as you walk up that side bit.
Yeah, I know the side
That's
bit.
Now an outdoor bit.
Right.
So you've got tables and canopies and you can get drinks and food. Well, you walk up that side bit and obviously there's that door that was always there. Just past that, because it's now a bar thing. The big old statue.
Right, and people flock to it, I bet, apart from you.
Not me.
Not you, no. But people generally are interested to see it.
Maybe.
And I think they would be. Are they? I think they would be, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think they would be. I think statues, I do think that, yeah. I mean, if there was a statue of, for argument's sake, if in Birmingham they put up a statue of Ozzy Osbourne or of all of Black Sabbath, would you not go? That would be good.
Imagine
you go to Walsall, right, and there's a big statue in the middle of town of Rob Halford on his motorbike. I mean, you...
Well, that's different.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
No, that's different. Because Rob has a real connection with Walsall. Lemmy was in Stoke-on-Trent for half a second when he was a baby.
Go to Guildford. There's a statue of Genesis. Be amazing. I'd go to that.
Are they from Guildford?
Statue of Tony Banks. They're from round there. They went to Charterhouse, didn't they?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're from Guildford,
does
it?
No, but essentially that's the nearest place, isn't it?
To Charterhouse.
Tony Banks lives there. I saw Tony Banks in Guildford once.
Did you?
Yeah.
How extraordinary. Have you never shared this with me before?
Would that not be great if there was a statue of the great man?
Yeah. At a keyboard.
Yeah, of course.
With his
at
arms
a keyboard.
Crossed
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, playing, yeah. you know, playing the intro to Firth of Fifth. Something like
How's
that.
How's that go then?
Oh, I can't do it. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that sounds
great thing.
Nothing
it's
like it.
Intro. It's very, very good.
Which
very
album
good.
Was that? Was that Selling England?
Selling England, yeah.
That is my favourite Genesis album.
Well, I'll pass that along.
Yeah. To who? What, Tony Banks next time you see him?
Whoever I first see from Genesis. There you go. Imagine you see the statue and it's playing this. Keep it out. Don't turn it up. Oh.
What a load
Let's
of
just get
rubbish.
The
well, hang
You're
on.
Such a turkey.
Hang on, hang on.
Oh, what are you...
yeah, that you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of desperately dark Sunday afternoons as a child, in the days when everything closed.
Exactly what the lyrics to Blood on the Rooftops are.
What's that? Blood on the Rooftop. What's that?
Blood on the Rooftops. It's on Wind and Wuthering.
We're talking about Selling
England. I know, but I'm just saying they
wrote
about
that. I didn't get Wind and Wuthering.
Yeah.
That was for, you know, Johnny Come Latelys.
Oh, for God's
What's the song
sake.
Called?
Blood on the Rooftops.
Blood on the Rooftops.
You check
the
out.
Any time
when
Genesis
you get, when
saw
you get a,
blood,
when you get a
was
spare
when they
minute,
scuffed their knee out. Playing rugger with the buggers. What is it? Blood on the what?
Blood on the Rooftops. Oh,
how come that
doesn't
how many times
come I have
straight
to
up?
Say
I don't understand.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
See, you must know it now.
I've never knowingly listened to Wind and the Wuthering.
No, it's not called Wind and the Wuthering.
There's a track on here called What Gorilla.
Yeah, there
I
is.
I bet it's
yeah.
rubbish. Let's have a listen.
Stop doing... Look, this is really killing the flow. I think you need to stop.
Killing the flow?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
right.
So I've made the case for statues.
Yeah, I'm making the case for no statues.
Do you remember Felix Dennis?
You know these people that pull down the statues in Bristol and all these people? Pull down the statues. That's me.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember...
Pull down the statues.
Do you remember Felix Dennis?
Yes.
The publisher. The wild-haired... publisher, absolute maniac, used to publish computer magazines and made a vast fortune from
he did
and spent loads of it on coke and prostitutes.
Oh dear, that's very unfortunate.
And then became a poet, but he had a huge country estate and would commission giant statues of his heroes for the grounds.
Who were his heroes?
Oh, he had loads of different people. So
Tony Banks?
Yeah, I mean, he would literally have... On one hand, you sort of have Plato, and on the other hand, you have some guy from Coronation Street.
Pluto?
You know, who's also his hero.
Pluto the dog?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
He would have Pluto?
Different statues of everything. It was great. Really good. Statues are cool, man, I'm telling you.
Nah.
I can't believe
it. I can't be doing
so.
With statues.
All right.
Nah.
Okay.
I said to Lemmy once, there'll be a statue of you one day. And he went,
he used to call, him Lenny.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. To his friends,
yeah,
to his very good, intimate friends, he was Lenny. After midnight. Right, cracking on with the news. I like this one. Neil Sean has turned 70. How is that news?
I just thought it was funny. Because obviously, you know, there's lots of... Lars Ulrich just turned 70. There's your good self.
Lars Ulrich?
No, God.
What are you talking about?
It's a callback. We did a show where I made the remark it was Lars Ulrich's birthday.
Are you referring to the past?
Yes.
I'm afraid I have less truck with the past than I have with statues.
But anyway,
have you noticed? Because statues are all of the past.
All it was a prompt to you to imagine how insane Neil Sean has gone. Now he's 70. Because haven't they all been sacked again?
I bailed out of that narrative. Yeah. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
I mean, this time last year...
I think they're all suing each other again.
Probably. I mean, he, you know...
Because Jonathan Cain isn't exactly...
Well, no, he is
on the straight and narrow.
He's getting messages
from Trump's, you know...
Spiritual
advisor to Donald Trump.
And they'll be back in action if Trump gets in later in the year. Now, Neil... I remember talking to Doc McGee and telling him some of my funny stories about Neil. And he went, "You were doing a book with Neil?" I went, "Well, I was supposed to be." He went, "How did that work out for you?" Yeah. I said, "We got the first offer in. It was like $220,000. And literally as the email arrived, Neil was texting to say, I'm out. And I go, "Guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy." I thought, I wish you'd told me that a year ago if I'd wasted my fucking time.
Well, $220,000 is nothing to Neil Sean.
It was the opening bid. There was like six publishers in an auction.
So what do you reckon he would have got? He might have got a million.
Yeah, maybe.
He might have got a million.
Well, I wouldn't.
Because that was at the time. That was, you know, that was when they were back at their... Everyone was listening to Don't Stop Believing.
Stadium. Exactly. There was a whole thing about them.
People wanted the Neil Sean story.
They did. Yeah. But so he's turned 70. Bless him. Yeah. Now, what's this? Speaking of someone past the landmark age of 70. Did you say past their best?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, you sent it to me. Richie Blackmore, con man, Rob's granny. Yeah. C attached pick. Let's have a look. Oh, it won't work. Hang on.
Oh.
Oh, for fuck. Well, people can't see it. Okay, pretend. Okay, I'm looking at it. Go on, tell us all about it, John.
Well, it was quite a sad story, actually.
Broke on the water.
Yeah, that was the headline, Broke on the Water. Because a Ritchie Blackmore impersonator had...
Yngwie Malmsteen?
Had defrauded a granny of her life savings. Like, I don't know what he was doing. He's like calling up going, yeah, I've got a new album ready to go. I just need like £500,000.
It says here, gift card fraudsters cheated an elderly lady out of £115,000 by pretending to be her childhood friend, rock legend Ritchie Blackmore.
There you go. You see, I told you it was a good story.
Is it?
You're intrigued, aren't you?
Sort of.
So she knew Ritchie as a kid. They somehow found out. And they got in touch with him and said, this is Ritchie. We're doing a school reunion. Guess what? I'm willing to play Smoke on the Water if you'll just send me all your money. It's not
and
funny.
She fell for it.
Well, she's obvious. Broke on the Water is the headline. Is it treated with great empathy by the Daily Star. Oh, ha, ha, ha. That's a good one.
It just sounds... I'm not one to say the tabloids make stuff up.
Let's point out this point. It actually had nothing to do with the real Ritchie Blackmore.
Ritchie, but it's his picture on the...
It's Ritchie's picture.
Picture and name.
Yeah. But the real Ritchie Blackmore did not do this.
Oh. Was just making that clear from a legal perspective.
Yeah, legal perspective. Because Ritchie is longing to sue you. He's tried a couple of times.
Ritchie,
if he gets
John is
chance.
The evil one. I'm the good guy.
Okay.
Right. This is strange, isn't it? Foreigner... now has no original members.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Mick Jones, who was the last...
Hang on. But they are still going on tour.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. So Mick Jones is now sadly ill. I think he's got it might be Parkinson's. It's something like that. It's quite a serious illness.
He was only doing certain shows anyway
for a long
time.
He now can't do any shows at all. So there is a band called Foreigner going around, which has... absolutely nothing to do with anyone who was originally in Foreigner.
Because since you sent me this, Lou Gramm has announced his retirement.
Yeah, because Lou Gramm, you know, he became very ill probably 15 years ago now, and it was a brain condition of some sort. It might have been some sort of cancer, and he was very ill, but then did managed to come, he survived and managed to come back to a degree, but I don't think he is well enough to.
Well, he's retired.
Certainly not to embark on a huge tour.
He's
retired. Yes. Probably, you know,
so it doesn't matter whether he's well or not. No, he's retired.
Well, he might have retired because he's not well enough. I don't know.
That isn't what he's saying. Mm. He's saying I'm really well,
but I'm retiring because they're doing a statue of me. That's what they're doing. Putting a statue.
Well, they
up
would
in
if anybody knew what
Farmington,
he looked like.
Farmington, Illinois.
Lou Gramm.
What do you mean if they? Don't be disrespectful to Lou Gramm.
No one knows
one
what
of
he looks
the great,
like.
I know what he looks like.
That doesn't mean anyone else does, though, does it? You know what Marino looks like. Yeah. No one else fucking does, apart from, you know, policemen and court operators. Trust me, no one knows what Lou
Gramm
looks
like. They know what he sings like.
They
I've
definitely
been waiting
know
for a girl like you.
It does not sound anything like that. That's what Lou Gramm sounds
no
like.
I want to know what love is. Well, we should get Alfie Bow to do that. He does that on his album, Alfie Bow.
We should get him to do it, should
yeah,
we?
Yeah. Get him up on
well, the unveiling of
get
the
him
statue.
Up on the, get him up on the music machine.
But
I want
but listen,
you to
is...
show me. Fabulous.
If we've got any listeners left at this point, this whole thing of going out without original members, I mean, Kiss... May I finish my thought? And then you do this, and then 10 minutes later, I'm like, I don't know what I was talking about.
Exactly.
You're like, you've got a terrible memory.
You have a terrible memory.
No, you just keep interrupting. See, I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, Kiss have kind of fetishized this by saying, aren't we innovative? We're going to go out and... We won't be there, but Kiss will continue. And people are going, oh, how do they do that?
Well, we covered... They essentially told Ace to fuck off, didn't they, when he offered to turn up at their last show.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's going to carry on, even though they have retired.
Yeah.
There won't be any original members in Kiss.
No.
So what I'm saying is this idea of a band touring without any
that's what I'm saying. This is what's interesting, because Foreigner won't be, they certainly won't be the first to do this. They certainly won't be the last to do this. They might be the first. I don't know, but I think there are other bands. There must be other bands that are out there.
Well, there's a sort of a history here, because back in the 70s, before they got Stevie Nicks in, Fleetwood Mac were in disarray in about 1972 or something. And their manager, Clifford Maxwell, I think it was.
Clifford Mac.
He put out a lineup of Fleetwood Mac to tour America of nobodies, you know, of people you've never heard of. Yeah. And they were doing great business. Yeah. So that Mick Fleetwood and John McVie had to issue a legal thing.
But this does, this does tie in to another story that I put on the list, and I thought it would be interesting to kind of discuss this all together, is that Bob Catley, who singer in Magnum, while we were on our sojourn, he put out quite a moving video to Facebook. I say that in all seriousness, where he just sat in front of a camera and said, look, I've had a few weeks to think about this since Tony Clarkin died, and I can't do it. I can't go on tour without him. You know, he was my mate. He was the songwriter. He was the guitar player.
Maybe we should get Bob at the show.
Yeah, Bob might be great, if he would come along. He'd be terrific.
Do you know how to get hold of him?
I don't know. Bob, if you're listening.
The cat!
The cat. So the cat actually said, I'm hanging it up. I can't do Megan. You know, I might make appearances as a singer on, you know, if someone wants me to do a guest spot on an album or something, I might do something like that. But no, I thought it was really honest and moving and completely fair to the fans to say, you know, we're not going to do Magnum anymore without Tony, because it was essentially Tony's band. And I thought it was absolutely fair. But the irony being, there was another version of Magnum already doing the rounds. There is another version, which is led by Mark Stanway, the keyboard player.
And is it called Mark Stanway?
No, I think it's Magnum. I think they're called something like Kingdom of Madness or something. They're named after a Magnum song.
So like a tribute band?
Well, are they a tribute band?
Well, they're not called Magnum, are they?
No, they're not called Magnum.
Foreigner will be going out as Foreigner presumably.
But maybe now, I don't know, maybe it'll be like Mark Stanway's Magnum or something. But, you know, he is a member of Magnum, essentially. But it's just interesting of that. It's that point, it's the old point you made a long time ago in an amusing fashion where you said the old joke about Trigger and his broom on Only Fools and Horses. He's changed the handle 5 times and he's changed the brush 10 times, but he's had the broom for 20 years. You know, it's that. It's like, what is it that's going out there?
There is a slight difference between Trigger's broom and Magnum, right, or any other band, in fact. Because, although having said that, I went to see Foreigner, 5 years ago, with Mick Jones, but no other original members. Yeah. And they were doing like an unplugged thing at Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Yeah.
And it was really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Everybody's sitting down. I like that. And their singer, Kelly...
Yeah, Kelly Hansen. Something like that. Kelly Hansen. Kelly Kenson. Ken Kellyson.
I don't know. He was really good.
Yeah.
He was really good. And it wasn't, I mean, I think that's where Lou Gramm's kind of generic rock voice helps, because it's very hard to come in and do an Aussie or a David Lee Roth.
Yeah, whereas Gramm has that classic sort of sound, radio rock sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it was just nice to hear the songs that you want to hear. Yeah. And they've got, you know, they've got a few jukebox hits.
They've got bloody loads, mate. Provenance. You know, I suppose it's a bit like the Bat Out of Hell musical or something. It's like you're going to hear the songs.
Yeah.
You're not going to see specifically to see Meatloaf or whoever.
Yeah. That would be strange though if you did go to see Meatloaf and he didn't
come out. Meatloaf was not. But it's going that way, isn't it? You know, it's going that way. You know, I mean,
we could do a show where there's no you.
Yeah, is there a real difference?
I could get a...
You could get your first wife. You could get, what was that bloke's name?
People would be going, what do you think of the new guy? They go, what new guy? I thought it was John.
Yeah, exactly. They would do. They're for years. Like when people go on those rock cruises and Kelly Kenson comes out and they just think it's Lou Gramm. They're not bothered.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They're pissed.
So they go, oh, there's Mick Wall.
I want to know what love you.
I want you to show me. Get Alfie Barb. He does a tremendous
blooded.
And can't you see?
My God, a temperature 103. Was it 100 degrees? I thought it was 103.
I don't know.
You don't know? How do you not know a fundamental law of rock?
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was 100 degrees.
I always thought it was 103.
Yeah, but you thought Wind and Wuthering was...
Wind cool. and the Wuthering?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't think. I just ignored it because it didn't have Peter Gabriel.
No, it didn't.
Did it have Steve Hackett?
Yes, it did. It was Steve Hackett's last album.
All right. Well, then actually I did hear it.
Apart from Seconds Out.
And I remember thinking, Phil Collins does a good Peter Gabriel impersonation. How about that? Put a statue on that. Right. So now this is a strange one. And it's unfortunately, it's entirely visual. So I don't know how we're going to translate this, John, but you've sent me a picture of Kelly Osbourne with her fiancé. And you wrote in brackets, see attached pic.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny going out with someone dressed like this. So naturally,
I hurried to
the image. What the fuck?
No. So there's Kelly Osbourne dressed up for a night out. And
she's with a guy who's also dressed very nice.
Yeah.
But he seems to be wearing...
He's added a gas mask to his look.
He definitely has added a gas mask.
Yeah, and a big pair of round glasses. Yeah,
yeah. He looks like the Fly.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
He just needs one of those protuberances.
Then he'd look like the plague. You know when they used to come around for the plague bodies and the guy with the crow's head with the big beak would come along.
So... what is the story here?
I don't know. It's just that's who she's married to. She's married to Gas Mask Man.
She's married to this guy?
I think so. That's what I know.
This is my husband.
Yeah, this is my husband.
You have to kind of go, oh, he'll be
called something like, you know...
Gas Mask.
Ken 3.
Like, no, he'll be called...
John 5, you know. He's probably in Slipknot. He's probably someone from Slipknot or, you know, associated bands.
I'm going to try and enlarge this picture. I will have to... tweet it.
See, if we had any form of social media, we could put it on there. And the readers could read it.
I agree. I'll try and find a way to put it on Twitter.
Yeah, you do that.
Right, so now who the fuck is Vince Power?
Vince Power? You don't remember Vince Power?
Apparently he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead, yeah.
Is there a statue?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you want to put up a statue.
Who is he?
Do you remember when rock was young. Now, do you remember when the sort of...
Was that an Elton John reference?
No.
I remember when rock was young.
Here he goes.
Me and Susie had so much fun.
All the time. Yeah.
Looking out by the record machine. I said, crock rocking is something shocking when your feet just can't stand still. I never knew me a better time, and I guess I never will.
Yeah,
How about that?
Extraordinary performance. Yeah.
You don't get that on every pod.
No, you really
That's
don't,
unique
do
to us.
You really don't.
Anyway, go on.
Will you remember sort of. It will be at the start of the 90s when old school rock festivals started falling apart. So Reading had gone, Donington wasn't really Donington anymore. It started to turn into Download or whatever it became. Right. And Reading was reinvented by the Mean Fiddler and they started doing... That was Vince Power. Vince Power was that guy.
Yes,
and he was an Irish promoter. And he was like, everyone used to be, oh, no, you don't cross Vince Power.
No, I do remember Vince. Yeah. I recognise the name, but I was thinking of a rock star with a statue, you know. So,
so
he died.
Essentially the guy that ruined Reading Rock forever.
He died.
Yeah, he died.
He must have been quite old.
Oh, he was only...
just a boy.
70. Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
I don't know.
No. So Vince Power has died. That's literally your
news. I thought you'd go. You being a you know being old a school plastic paddy. I thought you'd be like,
hang on.
Oh, the luck of the Irish. Oh, no, the leprechaun. I thought you'd be off on one of those when I mentioned Vince Power.
You know, I'm now offended. You've triggered me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to a safe space now. I remember with him when he had the mean fiddler.
Yeah.
We're going back 25 years.
It's more than that. 25 years is 2000.
When I remember him, when I knew him briefly.
Oh, so now it's all coming. It was lost long ago, but it's all coming back to me.
No, I didn't know him, but we had dealings because it was when I was doing PR. In fact, nearly 30 years ago.
See, here we go. In fact, it was 50 years ago.
In fact, it was the swinging 60s. so he died. What did he die of?
I don't know. Old age, I suppose.
You can't suppose that because the thing is, no one dies of old age.
Well, I don't know.
Not in the biz.
No.
Not in the biz, not when there's a statue at stake.
I expect Morris Jones or someone had him offed. That's probably what happened.
Oh, that's just, can I just disassociate myself from that callous remark? Right, now we're coming to the end of this one.
Yeah, thank God.
We do have more items.
We'll have to do those next time. We'll do a special bonus edition.
What do you mean a bonus edition?
Well, I don't know.
You mean just another episode? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we've covered comprehensively.
We've covered a lot of ground there. And you can see what kind of news gathering I do.
And on that bombshell.
It's quite intense.
Oh, it's certainly something. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I stop this, Fern?